strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now we see all through Hebrews 11, a name is mentioned. They are commended for their faith. And then everything else that follows is an explanation that took place because of their actions and their faith. So when I see Sarah's name mentioned, and I see that because of her faith, there was the one son that sprang into countless numbers of others, you put that together. Sarah had a faith in God. And because of that faith, it led to generation upon generation, thousands upon thousands of people who held the same faith. Well, they weren't perfect. No, they were not. They were human just like you and me. Sarah wasn't perfect. No, Sarah was just as much a sinner as everybody else in this chapter. But she had faith. And that faith had a potent effect on everybody who would come after. And I want to take a look back again at verse 11. Through faith also Sarah, having received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, God makes a good many precious promises to us through his word. Sarah saw those promises, saw the one who promised them, and says, I believe. That's not something everybody does. We're so quick to dismiss this doctrine, this teaching or that teaching, to throw certain things off because we can't stretch our faith that far. Lord, I am willing to obey you here, but I'm not willing to obey you there. Sarah, at the age of 90, was able to conceive a child, and you think how incredible that was. I sat there, and you know, we see some of these babies, and I look over at Danielle, I go, you know what? It's about time we have another. And she goes, okay, you carry it. Now, this is 2023. We're not quite there yet. Right? You carry it. There comes a point in time. I've never been through the process, but there comes a point in time where you don't want to go through the process anymore, right? Could you imagine 60, 70, 80 years old having another child? Committing to that, going through all the burden, all the labor, all the stress. She went through it all. It's what she wanted. It's what she'd asked for. And God, in his mercy and in his timing, gave that to her. And because of that gift child that God gave, so much more came out of it. You see, God gives each and every one of us a work, a responsibility, a ministry, if you'll allow me to use the word that liberally. For Sarah, it was to birth an entire nation through one son. For many of us, perhaps it is a Sunday school, perhaps it is the mission fields of your work, of your home, of your neighborhood, of your friend's circle. We all have responsibilities, and your faith matters in that. Your faith is valuable in that. I've often bemoaned the fact that when you go through Christian bookstores, not that there are too many of those around anymore, but you go through a Christian bookstore and you go through the women's section of a Christian bookstore, and every book tells you the same thing, right? Love God, love your husband, have the babies, be sweet. And you sit there and you go, you know what? I think there's so much more in the Bible than that. There's more to it than that. And then we try to segregate basic Bible teaching. Now, trust me, there are things in the Bible that just speaks to men. There are things in the Bible that just speaks to women. But the vast majority of what you find in Scripture is open to both. Right? Oh, Abraham's faith. You know what? Abraham did have faith. David's faith. David did have faith. Joshua's faith. Joshua did have faith. But Sarah had faith. And it had just an indelible mark on this world as anybody else's. Faith matters. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, a child. It does not matter. Your faith can have a potent effect on the world around you. And we need people who can show faith. We need people who can follow after God and trust Him for who He is and obey Him for what He says. You see, when we talk about Sarah having faith, Sarah didn't just have faith. I believe faith had Sarah altogether. Faith had complete control over Sarah. It changed her every action. It changed what she thought. I mean, you think about it, at the age that she was, coming down, hey, Sarah, you're going to have a baby. What'd she do? She laughed. She laughed. You go up to anybody who's in their 90s today, hey, you're going to have a baby. They'll probably laugh. But we see in Scripture there was some hope and some joy in Sarah's laughter. Something different than us just laughing today. Or laughing at what that could be, or just the silliness of the idea. She laughed with joy. She believed. That's what she wanted. And not only was she going to get what she wanted, but that thing that she wanted would be used and would matter. And would have a grand change on this life, and that God would bless her child and bless the lineage that would come from that child, and God would work mighty things through them. It made her happy. It brought her joy. She looked at God and she said, Lord, if that's what you say, that's what's going to happen. How many of us can sit here tonight and say, we've got the faith that Sarah has, and when we're sitting there in what looks to be an impossible situation, say, Lord, I believe you. Many of us, we believe that it is near impossible to see souls saved. Souls get saved every day. I've kind of come around to the opinion that the reason why we don't have the great revivals and we don't see people running into the church and we don't see as much revival and as much surrender as we used to is because we're just not trying for it. We're sat around waiting for the miracles to happen, but we're sitting around waiting for them to happen, not understanding that we are the instruments of God doing that. How can they hear without a preacher? But we sit in our pews and we bemoan society. Oh, no one is getting saved anymore. Well, what preachers are going out to preach the gospel? Well, isn't that supposed to be the pastor's job? It is my job and your job. And it's my job not because I'm the pastor, but because I'm a church member. It is my job. But it's our job to be an effect on the world around us, to give that gospel, to stand as lights pointing towards Christ. You know, we look at Sarah, how many of us have that faith? That even though something seems impossible, we're willing to go along with it. We're willing to go for it. As a matter of fact, Sarah got so excited for it and got so pushy about it, she even compromised. Got him in a bit of trouble, still paying for that trouble today, but she believed it to an extent. And she pushed on it, and she believed it. As I said, what God declared would happen was what she wanted to have happen. What God declared was impossible. You don't have babies at that age. Right? It's made me think about this, and that's why I sent you that thing. Remember the Weekly World News? See, that would be that old black and white magazine you'd pass at the checkout line. They would say something crazy like Hillary Clinton was an alien, or the half man, half alligator found in the sewer. You know, you remember those? Like, 90-year-old woman has child. We'd be like, oh yeah, that'd be right in that tabloid. Because that don't happen, right? You don't understand. This is 2023. Souls don't get saved. You don't understand, brother. Conferences like that don't do anything anymore. People don't want to come to a camp anymore. People don't want to show up on a Wednesday night anymore. They don't want to show up on a Sunday morning anymore. They don't want Sunday school. They don't want a church on the corner. They want a dispensary. And they say at time, it's impossible. It's not impossible. You got to remember, we've been doing this as Baptists. We've been doing church for a long, long time. And in civilizations and among people that hated us and were willing to kill us in the street, we've survived during more hostile times. We will survive today. That was something I saw in an article, why churches are abandoning Wednesday night services. And all the lists, right? Youth sports, people are fatigued going to church services. You know, and the way they put it was, well, you're already there Sunday morning. Some churches have a completely different service on Sunday night. Like, that's a rare thing, right? Like, we're supposed to play the same thing over and over again like a movie theater. And if I caught the matinee, I don't need to come for the PM show, right? So they're really fatigued. They got all this stuff. They don't want to come on this day. So a lot of churches have stopped doing it. I'm going to keep doing it. If you can make it, make it. I'm going to keep doing it. Right now, by the way, I'm going to keep the Friday morning devotions too. Seems to be working all right with folks. I love seeing those that can make it on a Friday morning. Come on out. I'm going to keep that up. If you ever get fatigued, have a nap. Right, I make that Friday morning one optional. Right? That's no big deal. Well, I don't work. It's working. I don't know what to tell you. Had a conversation with somebody recently, and you get people to show up to that thing on Friday? Oh, yeah. Well, what do? Do you call people the night before? No. If they can make it, they make it. If they can't, they can't. But we always have at least three people. You know, I don't think we've ever had it where it was just me and another person. It's always at least three people. It's always a good time. Always appreciate it. I'm not going to... Well, you know, brother, that gets kind of hard for some folks. I know, they don't come. But those that can do. And it's wonderful. Well, you know, what if people are having a hard time getting out? Then they don't get out. It's no big deal. But they come. And I think it's a blessing. I hope you find it a blessing. What about these... I noticed this. I was going through. We forgot one of the fellowships. We had the men's fellowship, but did we forget the ladies' fellowship? We didn't forget the... I forgot that we didn't forget the ladies' fellowship. We canceled it. You canceled it? She's making decisions without me? No. All joking aside, I like the men's and ladies' fellowships. I mean, I haven't attended a ladies' fellowship yet, but I like the men's ones all right. Of course, that's easy for me to say. I'm the one running my mouth for most of it. Don't shake your head at me. That's difficult. That doesn't work nowadays. It works. I don't know about the ladies, but for the men, we've always got at least 9-10 people there. It's good. And the food's good too. I'm tired of people telling us that what we're achieving is impossible. Tired of it. You know, we've got some chairs downstairs. As we go down those stairs, there's some chairs there in that little room. I'm assuming those chairs are for when things got overloaded at the conference, we set them up. I'm praying we set them up. But not just for a conference. I'd like to see them set up on a Sunday. Wouldn't that bless you? Amen. It's impossible. No, it's not. None of it's impossible. It happens every day. Sarah didn't sit there and bandy about with possible or impossible. She found the Lord believable, and she had faith in Him. So I tell you what, if the Lord's going to give me something called the Great Commission, I'm going to believe in Him, and I'm going to do the work. Now, am I going to establish success in that by how many hundreds? No. Am I going to sit there and look at those back numbers? All right, we had, well, a 42 today. If we got 68 by next month, we're successful in the great... No, that's not how I'm going to measure it. But I'm going to keep plugging and chugging. I'm going to go. But I'm not going to sit here and be surprised. Oh, the Lord did work when we do hit that. I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. This is exactly what you said would happen. we need to get after is what we need to do. She had faith and she believed God. It possessed her. It pushed her. She followed through because of it. Her faith had her head. Her faith had her heart. Her faith had her actions. I mean, you got to think about that. That's a hard thing. You know, we're going to have a kid. All right, well, I guess we're going to have a kid. You know, when Danielle and I were first trying to have Xander, it took a long time. Frustrated us a little bit. I got some bad news from the doctor about it. You know, very upsetting. We didn't think it was possible. And one day I'm on the way home, or on my way to work. It's early in the morning. It was back when I was doing maintenance at McDonald's. It'd be like 4:30 in the morning. She calls me while I'm on the road. I'm sitting there. I'm veering through orange cones and things like that. And I almost ran smack dab into an orange cone. She tells me, she goes, "You need, you know, hey Matt. By the way, of all the ways to tell your husband that you're going to have a baby while he's driving is not advisable. Not advisable." Some of you are like, "Okay, brother, check. I won't do that. I got you." but it changed my life. All right, if we're going to have a child, all right, well, we got to make sure we've got room. We got to change this. We got to set this aside. There's a lot of work that goes to it, and Sarah did the work. She was ready. All right, when we have faith in the Lord, it's going to change our actions. It's going to change the decision that we make. It's going to push us beyond our comfort zones. If we're going to have faith like Sarah, we need to have a life-changing faith. We need to have life-changing events take place. We need to be able to do amazing things. If we're going to be able to do amazing things, we need to stop and move and change and start new things. We need to make those changes. So Sarah not only had faith, but Sarah's faith was loud. Her faith was loud. Well, what do you mean it was loud? All she did was have a baby. Now listen, again, haven't gone through it, had a first row seat to it, wouldn't buy a ticket to do it myself. Okay? That's just how the Lord used her. There's some other women we're going to talk about. We're talking about Rahab. Talk about some other folks who possessed a mighty faith. That was just what Sarah was called to do, to birth a nation. There's a lot of things that people are called to do that require heaps amount of faith. And when we stand up and we do things, it makes noise. Right? When we found out the two people from down there in Clarksville got saved. Praise the Lord for that. That makes noise. That rattles all the way up here to Michigan because it got a hold of me. When I sat there and saw that young man and his wife come forward to surrender to full-time ministry, that was loud. When we stand up and we do things for the Lord, people see it. And it has an effect. A ripple effect, if you will, changing things and encouraging people. What we see there is, as we can look back at Sarah and what she did, we too can hope for things we haven't seen. Because Sarah didn't wake up the next morning pregnant, did she? She didn't. As a matter of fact, Sarah had to wait a mind-numbingly long time, in her opinion. Well, it didn't happen yet. It didn't happen yet. It didn't happen yet. She lost her patience a little bit in that. Anybody here, you're familiar with that? God made a promise. You know that there's something that's supposed to happen if you obey Him, and it hasn't happened yet. It gives people like us courage during those times. Because sometimes God ain't on our timeline. I notice that whenever you're working together with a group of people, sometimes people put different priorities on different things, and it's very hard to get on the same page sometimes. No matter what we're doing, we need to be on God's page for things. Because you will make a mess trying to speed things up or slow things down to match your priorities. God's going to do things in His time. He knew Abraham and Sarah had to be in the right place at the right time before He was ready to send their son. He was waiting for a specific point. Many of us were waiting for promises to be fulfilled. Perhaps God is waiting for a specific point for something to happen, and then He'll give it. All we know is what obedience is. All we know is what God asks of us. So it is our job to do what God asks of us as we push through and continue on. What Sarah was asked to do was no small thing. And it seemed impossible, and it was hard to wrap her head around. It's hard for me to wrap my head around it, and this is an event that's already taken place. There's going to be things that are that we don't think is possible. There's going to be things that we don't think we've got the ability to do. But trust in this. If someone like Sarah could fulfill, could be a part of the fulfillment of God's promise, so can you. So can you. So be the soul winner. Be the light. Be the salt. Be the person you're called to be. Fulfill the roles God has given you. Stand up into those positions and do as every bit of it as you can. Because that faith is a loud faith. That faith is a strong faith. That is the kind of faith where people will seek you out and say, hey, listen, how did you do that? You ever call somebody? I'll do that. I've had people call me, and I've called other people. Sometimes it's the same group. Sometimes they're calling me. Sometimes I'm calling them. I'll pick up the phone. How'd you do that? Can you walk me through what verses? How did you pull that off? And I'll sit there, pen and paper in hand, ready to take some notes. How'd you do that? Well, honestly, all I did was this, and that, this scripture, and that. And we obeyed that, and we did that, and this is what happened. Well, praise the Lord. I love that. Write that down. And sometimes you're the person who gets the phone call. How'd you do that? How'd you manage this sin? How did you manage the situation? How did you answer to that? And we help back and forth. That's a loud faith. That's a faith that other people can see. Now, your faith should never be a show. It should never be there to make yourself look good. But I tell you what, if you act in faith, people will see it, and it'll have an encouraging and even an educational effect on them. So often I look back at Sarah. Sarah taught me how to wait. Sarah teaches me how to have joy. Again, you're sitting, well, how did Sarah teach you how to wait when she messed it up? Sometimes when other people make mistakes, you can learn from their mistakes. You know what I'm saying? I think I've used this quote more than a few times. My pastor always used to say, you don't have to stick your head in the garbage. Know that it stinks. My wife was making a tuna fish sandwich the other day. She goes, oh, what is this in here? She started bringing it over to me. And I've grown. I want to show you just how much I've grown. I said, don't you bring that over here. Because I've told you, I struggle with that. Hey, smell this. Oh. You know, somebody else makes a mistake. I can learn from that. I don't have to put my head in the garbage to know, right? I can learn. Sarah failed in waiting. But God kept his promise anyway. Teaches me how to wait. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait. Teaches me how to have joy in the will of God. I tell you what, I love that part where she's laughing. Part of it's unbelief, part of it's joy, part of it's excitement. You ever been there? I've been there a few times where there's just so many emotions and all you do is laugh. All you do is giggle about it. Teaches you how to receive that news you've been waiting for. When you know the impossible is about to be yours to do. So Sarah had faith. Sarah's faith was loud. We see that Sarah's faith was impactful. Look at this passage of scripture again. We're starting verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Just like Sarah had to wait for a promise that took forever to get there. Now, she was able to see the fulfillment of the birth of her son, but she was not able to see the fulfillment of all the promise. She wasn't able to see Jesus Christ born, but that was part of the promise. She wasn't able to see the fulfillment of all that was promised that day, but she believed it. Many of the people that we read from here up to the birth of Christ were the same. They looked forward. Everybody? No, not everybody. But there was always somebody somewhere in Scripture who was looking forward to the complete fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. They were always looking forward to it. And I cannot skip past the value and again, the potency of that kind of faith. of that kind of faith. You know, we always, again, focus so much on faithful men. But you've got to admit that there's something to not just a faithful mom, but a faithful woman and the faith of them. I'll tell you, if I had to sit there and peg together the top 10 most faithful people I've ever met in my life, I'll tell you right now, 3 of them were women, possibly 4. And they not only had an impact on me, but they had a grand impact on me and everybody around me because of their faith. We can't sit there and try to dilute the role of women in the Bible. It's very clear, the power of their faith. As a matter of fact, a lot of times when you hear people stand up and give their testimonies, scarcely do you ever hear them equate it back to their father. It is almost always their mother or their grandmother. Look back at Timothy himself. This is his mother and his grandmother. I sat there so often going, where's Timothy's dad? How come he's not equated in there? Sadly, that's a story we still tell today. I alluded to that this morning. You know, the Bible talks about how it is supposed to be a man's responsibility to understand and to lead in the education of his child. But most fathers today, they're checked out. They're checked out. And again, I say responsibility, not that a woman can't do it. As a matter of fact, women are impactful teachers. They're wonderful teachers. They're great nurturers. But sometimes you got to put people in charge who aren't as acting in the matter as they should be. Put the man in charge. Hey, watch over the son. Make sure they're coming up right. Make sure they're doing right. But so many dads, they'd rather their cell phone. They'd rather the overtime. They'd rather their fishing or drinking buddies. And they abandon their children to fend for themselves. They put the responsibility fully on the mother. And it ain't fair, men. It ain't fair. And then we sit there and we put ourselves up. Oh, how great we are. How fantastic it is to be a man. When in all actuality, the faith of a woman is just as powerful and just as potent. And again, we don't want to sit here and say that the only reason why Sarah is in this book is because she was a mom. Oh no, any woman with any kind of a service out there to the Lord, your faith is potent. Your faith is powerful. Your faith is needed. It's needed. We never want to sit there and paint in the light, well, if a woman doesn't have children, she ain't nothing. There's a lot of women in the Bible who aren't listed as having children who are amazing individuals. The reason why I feel like I've got to say that is because, again, we kind of cheapen the faith of a woman. We want to see one better than the other. No, the man is the head of the home, right? But together they are one flesh. A woman has one kind of faith, a man has another. They are complementary to each other. If a father has good faith and a mother has good faith, those children are going to be blessed. I can't sit there and say the Lord will save them. I can't sit there and say that they'll have an abundant faith more than anybody else. But I can't sit there and say that they'll have the best opportunity they could have. A woman's faith is a potent thing. And even men, as we look back at Sarah's faith, we could see there's much to learn. She was not only promised something that was impossible, she had to wait for the impossible to come. And that is a difficult thing. I was talking to somebody this week, talking to a good friend this week about the lead up to the Lord calling me into the ministry and where I was mentally and where I was spiritually. And I said, the Lord was dealing with me. And I talked to Brother Dennis recently, and we were kind of talking about the same thing. You know, the Lord was dealing with me with some things. While you guys were waiting, he was working on me, right? And that's how he does. And I sat there as a young teenager. I was called to preach when I was 15. I was in training since I was 15. My pastor always had something I was working on, something I was supposed to be learning. He was dishing out assignments and study things and packets of information and sitting down with me, going over philosophy and all this stuff. And I sat there from 15 to the age of, how old was I, 34, bathing in this information. Almost 20 whole years of, the Lord's called me to something, I ain't there yet. I understand what Sarah went through. I understand what it's like to look at yourself and look at the task that you've been promised that you'd be a part of and say, it's impossible. Not me. Lord, you must not know how limited I am. how little I am compared to the task you've asked of me. I can't do it. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have that promise delivered and to sit there and laugh to myself, both in disbelief as well as amusement and joy and all the faith that comes with it. All right, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. I know what it's like. So we sit there and we say that Sarah had a grand faith. I know what she had to walk through. I know what it's like to have a promise you have to wait for, and the promise seems impossible and the wait seems unbearable. I get it. We can never forget the impact that one person's faith can have. If I look back at my own testimony, it was one man who started off knocking on my door. Boy, you missed church. You coming to church tomorrow? Yeah, Brother Gil, I guess I'll come to church. Then it was Carl Lentz. Hey, coming by on the van tomorrow. I want you to be ready. All right, get ready. Come on out on the van. All right, Brother Lentz, all right. Letters in my mailbox. So good to see you on Sunday. Birthday cards. People who sat and taught me the same thing over and over and over again. When I ran through the church halls, when I jumped up on top of things, when I got too loud, they, shh. Listen, this is how we do. Hey, this is how you tie a tie if you're wearing one. You need it. Here, let me get you a suit coat. I wear suit coats for men twice my size. Not a lot of men twice my size nowadays, but wear some extra big suit coats. Why? And I would, man, I was 11 years old. I'd come into church wearing a grown man's suit coat. I felt like I fit in, man. I looked ridiculous, but I felt like I fit in. I'd sit next to the men in church. They'd amen. There I'd be, amen. Because they were doing what God told them to do. I needed them. Following a promise they didn't know would ever come. You know how many people came into Flat Rock, went out of Flat Rock? You know, because it's probably the same number of people came into home and get out of home. You know. Ain't no guarantee who's going to stay. But I serve my Lord to the fullest of my ability, and I never count that. Lord only told me to count one thing, and that's the cost. Cost to serve. It was impactful. The faith of others had an impact on me. We had Sister Hall at our church. Sister Hall had multiple strokes, severe health problems. And I tell you what, if she could do it, she could. There wasn't much she could do in the end. But I'd sit there. I used to get migraines so often when I was a kid. And I used to sit there. Man, I'd want to go play with my friends. I'd want to skip church on a Sunday. I'd want to go do this. I'd want to go do that. But then I remember old Sister Hall. If she can make it into church, I better make it into church. Right? You know, there was half the time I was telling somebody, we were just at Flat Rock recently. There's this little device. If you're ever at Flat Rock, look for it. There's a little device that comes out of a door. And that thing, that rail comes down, and there's a chair lift that goes down. And I was at the end of her life. She didn't have a lot of strength. That chair lift came down. Somebody opened the door. The chair lift hit the door. It popped the chair loose so that it was on a hinge. And if it gets jarred, it'll almost kind of eject the person in it. Not a very good thing. So that rail there stops the thing from going any further. So somebody asked, why is that there? I go, well, let me tell you. Because one time, Sister Hall hit, somebody opened that door while Sister Hall was coming down. She didn't know how to stop it. Hit the door, ejected her out. She grabbed it. She stopped it with her feet, slammed the thing back into place. We had somebody come by and show us. Very few of us could do what Sister Hall did. She was 90. Just boom. Put it back into place, shocked us all. Sister Hall bought me, not my first, but she bought me one of my first preaching Bibles. She put a poem in it. She'd come by and she would call me. Hey, just want to let you know I'm praying for you. How are you doing? You doing okay? had an impact on me. Sister Hall taught me how to love people. That's a weird thing to say. Didn't you have anybody else? Nah. See, I had people taught me, but I didn't really learn until I was around Sister Hall. And they're impactful people who did amazing things. She didn't know if I would stick around. She didn't know if I'd follow through. She didn't know anything about me other than the fact that I grew up in that church and I was this, I was that, I was looking okay, but who knows? Her faith was impactful. And it wasn't just me, it was so many others. Maybe you're having a deep impact on people's lives and you don't even know it. There are some of you that come into this church with the aches and the pains and the struggles that you have, and we don't always talk about it, and I don't bring it up in every service, but I'm telling you, I'm watching you. And it gives me hope. It gives me encouragement. It helps feed my faith. Faith is impactful. I mean, you think about this generation after generation for Sarah. Those countless others that knew the truth because Sarah found God to be faithful. Those countless others that shared in her faith because she found God to be faithful. I tell you what, if so-and-so is doing these incredible things and they believe God, well, that's what I'm going to do too. I'm going to chase after him, just like so-and-so did. You know, and I don't agree with everything that everybody I look up to did. They say you should never meet your heroes. There was some times that the people I looked up to straight up let me down. Surprise, surprise, they were humans. Right? Everybody we find in Hebrews 11, you could find fault in almost everything they did, can't we? I can sit there and pick that apart. Man, if Moses did this and this and this, David did this and this and this, Joshua did this and this and this, Abraham did this and this and this, we sit there and pick their faults apart all day. But you know what? They're humans. The most faithful people you know on earth are still sinners. But God is faithful above all. See, it didn't say here that Sarah had faith because Abraham had faith. It says here in verse 11, because she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know the key to having an impactful faith? You've got to believe the one who's given you the promises. You've got to find him faithful. Because if Abraham slipped up, and he did, Sarah needed to hang on. Sarah needed to hang on. There was a lot of people I came up with, a lot of people I fought battles with, a lot of people I worked hard with, and I'm seeing them leave God one after the other after the other. Their lack of faith can't have an effect on me. It shouldn't have an effect on me. Why? Because it's not them I'm following. It's not them I'm counting on to be faithful. It is God who has proven me to be faithful. Didn't that break your heart? Well, if so-and-so leaves the church, I'm leaving the church. If so-and-so goes over there to this non-denominational gig, I'll go over to that non-denominational gig too. And I tell you what, they won't preach on sin. They won't preach on doctrine. They won't preach on the stuff I'm doing wrong. I'll feel right and good. You won't feel good. You'll be able to blind yourself for a while. But if you're truly a child of God, he's going to come for you. And if not, you got bigger problems. If I'm sitting there rodeoing, I tell you, I'm okay with getting encouraged by other people's faith, but if my faith is based on other people's faith, I'm in trouble. Can't have no impact that way. You know, I talked about Brother Gill. He was a very, very big proponent. Well, you just got to trust God. Yeah, but Brother Gill, how do you know? Well, every time I've done it, he's blessed. Every time I've trusted, giving me an answer. He's a very gruff man. Very simple man. I trust him. He was the one who gave me that statement. He ain't failed me yet. He ain't failed me yet. You know what impressed me about his faith and the faith of many others that spoke the same? The way they'd always bring it back to Christ. They'd always bring it back to Christ. Always bring it back to the Father. I love God. I trust God. He's blessed me where I've needed it. He's helped me where I've struggled. That you base your faith in the one who's given you the promises. You find him faithful, you'll have an impactful faith. It'll change other people's lives as much as it'll change yours. I believe him. Well, what does your church believe? Well, it don't matter. This is what the Bible says. Now, I wouldn't be a part of a church that don't agree with what the Bible says. And I don't go with people who don't agree with what the Bible says. Won't have anything to do with it. You know, I've been working around a little bit. You know, I have some missionaries recently reach out to me. And there's always something. There's always something I just can't support. Right? Well, where are you on this doctrine? Where are you on that doctrine? And where are you on the King James Bible? Where are you on this? Oh, well, you know, my personal favorite. We're right in line with you, brother. We're right in line with you. Yeah, but where? Oh, no, right in line with you. All right, well, where am I? Well, if you don't know what you believe, brother, maybe we'll sit down and I'll explain some things to you. I'm trying to get you to explain something to me. Trying. I tell you what, some of these missionaries, if they weren't, some of these missionaries, you could tell their truth just by how weaselly they are. I got a conversation with one who's just over doctrine. Well, do you think that'd be is that a breaking point for you? Yep. What about the rest of your church? What would the rest of your church say? Well, let me tell you, they quizzed me before I came in, and this was on the quiz. So, they wouldn't take me. They're not going to take you. Right? If they wouldn't take me over this doctrine, they ain't going to take you over this doctrine. No, I mean, well, what does this believe? Where do you put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no compromise in that. I fail every time I try to compromise in that. The real value here is, what does God say? And do you have enough self-discipline to believe it? What do you mean self-discipline to believe God? It shouldn't take... It does. Because I'm distracted by 1,000 other things. When I was in middle school, my teacher noticed that I had this thing where it wasn't that I couldn't hear, it's that I heard a lot of things. So if there were 5 people talking, when I was probably around Xander's age, so maybe not middle school, probably around Xander's age, I would try to listen to everything at once. And if you try to listen to everything at once, what do you hear? Nothing. And it literally just sounds like somebody's playing background, like background music or background sound of like a busy cafeteria. Just, arr, 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 arr. You can't have faith in the Lord if I'm trying to attend my ear to everything. There's certain things I've got to shut down. Now, how do I know what to shut down and what not to shut down? Listen, I have tried this Bible thing, and it has worked. I have tried this the worldliness things, all the different ideas. I haven't tried them all, but the ones that I have tried, not so good. Get in trouble, tell a lie. Get in more trouble because you told a lie. Deny the lie. Now you look like an idiot. That's not a winning combo, right? I've seen other people try worldly things, and I've seen them crash and burn, so I go, that's not trustworthy. It ain't. If you had a car that started half the time, would you be happy? Nope. Well, you know, it does. For a lot of people, it does. For a lot of people, if my car started a lot of the time, would I be happy with it? No. And here's the main killer. Not just does sin help me or hurt me, but in the end, God punishes you for that sin. That's the main thing. So who am I going to listen to? I'm going to listen to the Father. I'm going to. I've never had a single regret when it came down to making a decision that the Lord has asked me to do. I've never been upset about it. My regrets come from the time when I don't listen to Him. Sarah listened to Him. Was she patient? Nope, but thank you for the lesson, Sarah. Right? Thank you for the help. She had faith. And she stepped out on that faith. 90 and going to have a kid. You know? What about your condition? What about your situation? What is it that God has asked you to do and you're sitting there going, that's not possible? And I don't think that could be. And what's more, what is it that he's asked you to do that you're doing, and the answer or the response hasn't come yet? Like Sarah, where she's waiting. Sarah had an impact on her entire lineage because of her faith. You need to keep that in mind. That not only, if I believe in the one who promised, if I find the one who promised faithful, not only will I see it, not only will it make sense to me, but it will stand as a monument, a testament, a teaching moment to everyone around me and those that came after me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we could all have faith like Sarah. Faith that could be patient, faith that could believe in the impossible, faith that could believe in the possible, in the impossible, even though we have to wait a long time for it. Lord, and I don't say that to make jest of your will and your plan. Your plan was perfect. But sometimes we get a little short-sighted. Sometimes we get a little impatient. And Lord, forgive us for it. Lord, we should all crave to have faith like Sarah. And not just her faith, but Lord, let our faith have the impact that hers did. So Lord, if your son Terry's is coming, Lord, for all the generations that are left, they would be impacted by the faith that we show today. Lord, we love you. We want to demonstrate that to you. So help us, Lord, in our actions and in our self-discipline to do what's right. For its name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Page 337.